This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's called a discussion meet, and the Farm Bureau has been doing it for decades. It's a way to bring young farmers together to talk about the challenges they all face. And while they're talking, these farmers are also competing, first for a place at the state-level discussion meet, and then a shot at representing Michigan in the national competition. Grant Reif and Seth Earle both made it to the state competition that was held a month ago. Grant is from Manchester. Very good to have you with us, Grant.
Hello.
And Seth Earle of Ludington was the winner of the state competition, and he's getting ready to head to Florida for the national competition. Congratulations on that, Seth.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want you to start by kind of telling us a little about yourselves. Seth, I know you're a district conservationist for the National Resource Conservation Service, but you and your wife both have had a lot of experience in dairy farming, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I actually grew up down on the Hillsville and Branch County line in southern Michigan, and I was the son of an ag teacher, but started milking cows when I was 15 years old, and then ultimately kind of parlayed that into my career working for a U.S. Department of Agriculture. But then my wife, you know, I married the proverbial farmer's daughter. You know, a dairy girl from here in northern Michigan, her parents milk about 500 cows, and she actually works off-farm then also for the Michigan Milk Producers Association.
And Grant, you're district manager for the Dairyland Seed Company, but you also are involved in farming?
Yes, I am involved in farming. I grew up on a 430-acre dairy farm in west central Indiana. It's been in the family for six generations, and had the opportunity to move to Michigan for a position with Dairyland Seed. I also followed my wife, who is also the proverbial farmer's daughter. She grew up in Holly on a sheep farm, and she's also the executive director of the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions.
Well, certainly in the blood, and when you say six generations, there's really that is kind of the American farming story.
We've been around for a while.
You've both been part of this annual discussion meet, and it's something that I think people who are not in agriculture aren't familiar with. It's not a debate, right?
That's correct. It is a discussion to have a free flow of ideas and thoughts and a way to set a stage for the challenges that we face in modern agriculture.
And Seth, this is something farmers have been doing for decades?
Yeah, actually, you know, Farm Bureau, as part of the Young Farmer and Rancher program, has this discussion meet contest where it really allows us the opportunity to discuss some of the issues that are, you know, that are presented before us. A lot of times they're policy-driven efforts or, you know, current issues that might be going on within the agricultural sector. At the high school level, you know, FFA also has a discussion meet, which is, you know, kind of founded and supported by Farm Bureau then also. So a lot of the roots go all the way back to high school, but then ultimately carry on to the Young Farmer and Rancher program through Farm Bureau.
It kind of seems to me, Seth, that this is a way to get people who work in a very solitary way together and to interact with one another. Because, you know, in an office setting, it's taken for granted your coworkers are all around you. But the nature of farm work is really different from that. It's so solitary.
It is. I mean, when you look at society and farming, I mean, less than 2% of the population actually resides on farm. But then, you know, this discussion also serves as a really good opportunity for people to be able to network across different demographics and different sectors of the community. And then certainly, you know, once you get to the national level across different states, because as Farm Bureau members, and specifically for Grant and I, being a young farmer, you know, we certainly have different issues. And it's nice to be able to work and talk to other people across the country and speak about those issues.
These discussion meets are for, as we're calling them, young farmers. We're talking ages 18 to 35. Grant, is there a generation gap between the older and the younger farmers?
I would say it would be hard not to have a generation gap between younger and older farmers, especially due to the advancement of technology in agriculture.
What's it look like then on the ground level?
Well, when you get to the technology gap, if you will, farmers that are coming out of college, such as myself or Seth, that are familiar with computers, familiar with the newer forms of ag business, are having a hard time sometimes conveying that message to farmers who have been necessarily afraid to jump into something that is unknown to them or to work on utilizing these new ideas that are able to help move their farms forward.
Does that kind of maybe play out into a them versus us kind of mindset, do you think, Seth?
Yeah, I don't know if it comes into a young versus old or us versus them mindset. I think that these contests are just a good avenue for us to express our ideas and our you know, and a lot of times our morals and our backgrounds. You know, young or old, we all face really the same sorts of issues. As Grant mentioned, when you're looking at the technology gap, that was obviously one of the questions in the discussion meet where we were looking at new technologies in agriculture. Traditionally, through time, you know, farmers, you know, they're set in their ways. They've learned, they've experienced, and they know how to react to different situations. And that's probably one of the biggest differences between a younger farmer and an older farmer is that just a simple experience level. And that's something that, you know, we obviously have to keep in mind.
I'm talking with Michigan farmers Seth Earle of Ludington and Grant Reif of Manchester. And we're getting into some of the questions that were discussed at these discussion meets, the statewide one that was held in December. And then we've got Seth getting ready to represent Michigan in the national competition in just a few days. One of the questions that was put to you that you had to talk about was water and how to balance agriculture's water needs while still maintaining vibrant communities. And we've heard so much from water experts that one of the contributing causes to the algal blooms in Lake Erie, for instance, is fertilizer runoff from farms. Was that discussed at all?
Yes, the discussion was based along the lines of phosphorus runoff, especially on the fertilizer. But it also went to a broader level on the national level as well about like the Ogallala Aquifer out in the Great Plains potentially being out of water in 20 years. And without changes in farming practices, we could potentially see another dust bowl on our hands if we don't take precautions to conserve the water that we have.
Water is absolutely essential, you know, to not only our future, but then to our kids' future. And when you're looking at it, the next battleground will ultimately be water issues and water conservation and water stewardship. One of the important things to keep in mind is that no matter how we proceed with water conservation, we have to be able to balance the vibrancies of communities and then agriculture at the same time. That water question was really, you know, really tailored towards Western water rights, where you look at, you know, some of the Western states such as Colorado and California and even Texas have had severe droughts and then ultimately have had to make the decision on who gets what water and the reasons behind that. So that's really a tough balance. And that's the angle that a lot of those people tried to take. And I know Grant and I both have, you know, some Western water right experience. He worked in Kansas for a while, and I worked in Colorado for a short while. And so that historical water right aspect is really important when we look at balancing the communities and then how do we ultimately move forward. Water is really going to become more important than oil, and that's been well documented and well written about throughout time.
What issue or problem do you feel, I'm going to ask you each this question, is most on your mind and that of the farmers that you talk to, that you know, and that you interact? Maybe it didn't even get talked about at the discussion meet. Let me start with you, Grant. What is the biggest pressing matter on your mind in ag today?
I think the biggest pressing matter on my mind and on the farmers that I work with and talk to on a daily basis is the fact that agriculture is going into a recessional period, economically speaking. Commodity prices are down right now and are projected to be down for the next 2 to 3 years. And that is putting a big strain on the pocketbooks of farmers and their livelihoods. We're trying to produce a food supply that is cheap and good quality for the U.S. public while trying to stay in business ourselves. And when you put the pencil to the paper and you see that it is not economically intelligent for a farmer to raise corn in the coming year because of a low commodity price, those are some big concerns.
When you hear of farmers having to pour milk down the drain.
Because... Absolutely.
How do you see it playing out?
Everything's cyclical. Mm. And with the farming situation right now and the economics behind it, there's an inverse correlation between the strength of the U.S. dollar and commodity prices. So when the U.S. dollar is strong, ag prices suffer because it reduces other countries' buying power for our products. So until we do something from a policy standpoint to help provide new avenues and new opportunities for our trade, or until there becomes more of a balance in the supply-demand factors, I think we're just going to have to ride out the cycle.
Seth Earle, what's on your mind most of all?
I think one of the most pressing issues that are facing all sectors of agriculture is really the uncertainty in the marketplace. Grant had alluded to the fact of lower commodity prices and then making sense of literally dollars and cents and being able to make the ends meet. A marketplace, a secure marketplace for all sectors of agriculture is absolutely essential going forward. The dairy industry right now has really taken a beating here in the last year with almost historically low milk prices. And that's really made a lot of people suffer because ultimately we need a stable market in order to produce a safe, cheap, affordable product that's also secure and safe. And you'll hear a lot more about food safety issues from a global perspective, but then also from a consumer's perspective as we move forward. And all that ties back into having just a stable market. And, as we look at where do we go in the next 100 years, where do we go in the next 5 years, all those issues will ultimately be present.
What is it that keeps you in farming and in agriculture?
For me personally, I think it's a way of life. My parents were both involved with ag. My wife's involved with ag. I'm involved with ag. And then our daughter, who's soon to be 2 years old, loves cows, loves being on the farm, loves riding in tractors. I'm proud to say that we're actually going to have a daughter on Thursday morning right before I fly out on Friday. And it's just a way of life. And being able to be raised in a rural community, and a handshake means a handshake, and everyone looks each other in the eye. I don't think that those morals and values can be found, in any other sector across the country. Some of the best people I've ever met in my entire life are farmers, ranchers, people of a rural setting that have a background in ag that are similar to you. I've been lucky to work in 7 different states, and that's the one thing that I can always keep in mind is that no matter what sector of ag that I'm working in, the same people exist with the same quality of life.
What's your big draw, Grant?
Very similar to Seth's, it's in your blood. And for me and my family, when I've been doing it for 6 generations, and my son will be the 7th generation in production agriculture, that's huge. I mean, you don't get many areas in the industry, in the U.S., where you have that kind of family bond and the strength of that local community and the stick-togetherness of an industry. In ag, we have a we-can-take-on-the-world mentality because we're feeding the world. And we play some very crucial roles, especially as the population of the world continues to boom. By 2050, they're talking almost 9 billion people in the world that we're going to need to focus on feeding. And so that's quite an undertaking when it comes to a livelihood. On the other hand, to play coy a little, it's a fairly steady job because people always need to eat.
Feeding the world. Grant Reif, it's been great meeting you and having you with us. And Seth Earle, you have a heck of a week ahead then. You've got a baby coming Thursday, and then you're off to Florida for the National Discussion Meet. And you'll have to let us know how it goes. We wish you the best of luck as you represent Michigan at that national competition.
Absolutely. I certainly appreciate it. And, I want to say thank you for Grant for chiming in with me today. It's been, it's been a pleasure getting to know him throughout this whole process also. And I appreciate the support of not only Michigan Farm Bureau, but then also the local community. And most importantly, probably my wife, who has encouraged me to go to this contest, regardless how old our baby is. It's certainly been a whirlwind. I'm looking forward to it. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.